Hello and welcome to the third in our broadcast entitled Learning to Discern. The main reason to understand something is to know what course of action we should be taking, and we need to know what course of action to be taking in this day of apostasy. Stay tuned for our program today, Learning to Discern. We are commanded in 1 Thessalonians 5:21 to prove all things and then to hold fast to that which is good. The word prove has been translated discern in two other places. And then, once we discern, we are to hold fast to that which is good. We can't hold fast to that which is good if we don't know the difference between what is good and what is not good. Also, we learn, as a result of learning, we will have some course of action, and we need to know what kind of action to take in this day of apostasy that we're living in. The phrase, observe to do, is found 18 times in the Bible. So if we're going to learn to discern, we're going to learn to discern so that we can obviously be doing something, whatever that God would want us to do. In our last message on this subject, we saw that the Lord spent 3 years dealing with his disciples, teaching them about the urgency of discerning what is right and what is wrong. They needed to take the right course of action after he had left them with the job that they were here to do. And that is true of us too. We have the promise of the Holy Spirit. It says in John 16 and verse 13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. Now there's a promise from God. John put it this way in 1 John 2 and 20, but ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. We can know or discern or understand whatever it is we need to know and learn and understand, because the Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth. Isaiah 30 and 21 said, this is the way, walk ye in it. We want to see a counterpart for that in the New Testament. Read the book of Ephesians. It gives us four chapters of the way, and then it tells us to get busy and walk in the way. 1 John 4 and 6 says, hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Hereby know we the spirit of truth. The urgent need is here for us to discern in these last days what we need to be doing. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:1, this know also that in the last days perilous times will come. Something that is perilous, it means to be exposed to imminent risk of disaster. It's a perilous time. That's where we're living today. Now, discernment is not optional. It's not something that we can take it or leave it for Christians. It is a command from God, and it is critical that we discern the will of God in these days of apostasy, or we will become discouraged, and that discouragement will lead to compromise or quitting. It's very important that we understand that we need to discern what is happening around us in this age in which we are living. It is very important that we understand that God's will is not difficult to find. If your child came to you wanting to know your will for them for today, would you make it difficult for him or her to know what your will is? Would you say, well, you go down behind the furnace room downstairs, and there's some old boxes there, and there's about 20 of them. Search through those boxes, and somewhere you'll find my will. Of course you wouldn't say that. If they want to know your will, you would tell them your will for them today. Well, God doesn't make it difficult for us to find his will for us either. The reason our children would not ask us what our will is for them is because they really don't want to know. We might say, I want you to cut the grass. The reason a Christian does not seek the will of God is because he or she does not really want to know. He might say, I want you to cut a relationship with some of your friends who are going against the scriptures. The Bible says in Jeremiah 29 and 13, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye search for me with all your heart. It's a seeking, it's a searching, and it is with all your heart if you really want to know or discern what the will of God is for you. Now, we said last week discernment is conditional. Discernment does not come by reading commentaries or articles. Discernment does not come by listening to preachers. Discernment comes only from God, and it only comes through the Word of God. We looked at Proverbs chapter 2, and it says there, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, and if you will incline thine ear to wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding, and if you cry after knowledge and lift up your voice for understanding, and if we seek her as that is understanding as silver and search for her as hid treasure, then, he said, thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord. Then you will find the knowledge of God. Then, verse 6, God gives wisdom and he gives knowledge and he gives understanding. It says in verse 9, then shalt thou understand four things. You'll understand righteousness, you'll understand judgment, you'll understand equity, you'll understand every good path. Verse 10 says, when wisdom entereth into thy heart and knowledge is pleasant unto your soul, when we search for it with all our heart. Discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, and verse 12 says, it shall deliver thee. It's there, but we're going to have to pay the price. It's conditional. We're going to have to turn the television off and get in the Word of God and search, receive His words, apply our heart to understanding, cry after knowledge, seek wisdom as you would for silver if you knew some silver was hidden in the backyard of your home. Go after it. Then thou shalt understand, and then only shall we understand. Now, we have to determine whether we're going to get discernment from the Word of God or whether we're just going to line up with our friends in the movement. So a lot of Christians say, don't confuse me with scriptures. I believe what my friends believe. You know, it is an insult to the Lord to say, no thanks, I don't want you to direct me. I have my mighty men who will guide me into all truth. Well, there's nothing wrong with listening to some good preaching. That's a scriptural thing to do. But after we've done that, we need to search the scriptures to see if these things be so. In fact, it says search the scriptures daily. After Paul, who was inspired of the Holy Spirit to preach, he said that you need to search the scriptures daily to see if what I'm telling you is true. If you needed to search the scriptures to see what he was saying was true, how much more do we need to do that today? Hebrews 5 and 14 says that strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even to those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. The Greek word translated exercise is gymnazo. It is where we get our word gymnasium. To exercise, we're talking about activity. Exercise requires an effort. An effort that is carried out in order to sustain or to improve health. What we need to do today is to improve our spiritual health. Are we going to put our spiritual health in the hands of some man? Now, do not misunderstand me. God has given pastors, and it says in the Word of God, they are given for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. But when you listen to your pastor, do you check the Scriptures daily to see if those things are so? It says in Acts 17:11, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the Word of God with all readiness of mind, and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. It says they were more noble. That means having or showing qualities of high moral principles. Two things. They received the Word of God with readiness of mind. So that's what you ought to do. Sit in church, listen to the pastor, listen to a message like this. Receive the Word of God with all readiness of mind. Then go home and search the Scriptures daily whether those things are so. You do that, or do you just sort of search to see what's on television today? If, and only if, we are in the Word of God, our senses will be exercised to discern both good and evil. Now, there's a high cost of spiritual discernment. The cost is something sacrificed to obtain something else. It's going to cost you some time. It's going to cost you some effort. The Bible says that much studying is weariness of the flesh, and so it is. We need to understand that God offers no cheap discipleship program. In Luke 14, the Lord gave three reasons why we cannot be His disciples, and He warned His followers to count the cost. The first thing Christ said is if family or even our own lives are more important than the truth, we cannot be His disciples. Luke 14:26. He said, second, if we refuse to bear His cross, He gives us a cross to bear, we cannot be his disciple. And third, he says, if we are not willing to forsake all that we have, we cannot be his disciples. There is a price tag. He offers no cheap discipleship. Discernment, we said, only comes from God, and he will not give discernment to anyone who is not willing to pay the price to be his disciple. Therefore, the first thing one who wants discernment must do is decide if he or she is willing to pay the price. But let me tell you right now, beware, it is very expensive. The first step to discernment is to earnestly pray for discernment. The phrase, teach me, occurs 15 times in the Bible. 14 of them were prayers from the man after God's own heart, and one time the words came from Job, who was not talking to God, but he was talking to one of his critics. Job was humble enough to learn even from his critics. Discernment is costly, and it begins with prayer, and it begins with humility. If my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray. The next step to discernment is an earnest desire for the truth. Not a half-hearted desire, an earnest desire for the truth, to really know God's will. Now, the only source of total truth is the Word of God. The only way to discern the truth concerning the things that we read in the Word of God is to genuinely allow the Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth, like he said he would. This means we're not looking in the Scriptures for something to support what we think we already know about an issue. It also means we will not be concerned about what our peers think. We are genuinely looking for the truth, and it will cost us something. It will most likely cost you some friends. However, once again, remember this, if you want the truth, if you want discernment, discernment is very costly. The third step to discernment is applying the truth. To apply it is to put it into operation. The psalmist said, teach me thy way, O Lord. Oh, we like that part of the prayer. The second part of the prayer says, and I will walk in thy truth. This might include that you will need to admit that you've been wrong about some issue. Oh, no, we don't want to do that. Well, then don't worry about discernment. Discernment is costly, and you need to count the cost before you go seeking for it. Discernment put Noah and his family against the entire world. Discernment totally changed the lifestyle of Abraham. It caused Enoch to walk alone. It caused Joseph to be hated by his brothers and sold as a slave and spend many of his years in a dungeon, innocent of any of the charges against him. It put Moses on the backside of the desert. It put the three Hebrew children in the furnace. Discernment caused all the disciples to be hated and martyred. It caused Paul to be lied about, whipped, imprisoned, forsaken by most Christians, and finally martyred as well. This is why Christ took his disciples up on the mountain at the beginning of their ministry and explained the true cost of discipleship. When talking to his disciples, he said in Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 13, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. I am so weary of Bible commentaries that are telling us that this portion of Scripture has something to do with whether somebody goes to heaven or somebody goes to hell. He is talking only to his disciples. All we have to do is look in Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 1, and it says, seeing the multitude, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. In chapter 8 and verse 1, he came down from the mountain. Everything he said from chapter 5 verse 1 to chapter 8 verse 1, he said only to his disciples. He said, ye are the salt of the earth. He said, ye are the light of the world. He said, let your light so shine before men that others may see it. Seven times when speaking to these men, Jesus used the phrase, your Father which is in heaven. It was to his disciples that he said, enter ye in at the straight gate. It was to them that he said, narrow is the way, because there are few Christians who really want to discern the will of God. My question to you is, are you one of them? Tune in for our broadcast tomorrow.